It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to another edition of the Steelers Fix podcast here on the Steel Curtain Network. My name is Jeremy Betts, joined as always by my right-hand man, Andrew Wilbar. Here on the Steelers Fix, we take a look at everything roster building and player development, for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And boy, do we have stuff to talk about because the draft is over and it was exciting. It was everything we hoped it could be and maybe a little bit more. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But Andrew, how are you feeling after yet another successful Omar Khan draft experience in 2024?
Man, those sixth round picks, I tell you what horrible picks. No, the draft was fantastic. The draft was fantastic. I am not the most thrilled person in the world about those two sixth round picks. I will say that the rest of the draft picks, I have to be overall very, very happy about the way things went. And the Steelers didn't even have to make any moves. I thought sure the Steelers would move up and down the draft board, but quite frankly, they didn't need to get the players they wanted. Yeah. Omar Khan did a great job maximizing value with those picks. Steelers are in really good position going into the year. I don't know the last time I've been this excited, probably since the couple years before Ben Roethlisberger retired. That was probably the last time I've been this excited about a Steelers team.
I'll admit, we were in anticipation of the fourth round pick on the live stream that we were doing on YouTube during the fourth round. I said that the one position that I would be surprising to me if the Steelers would pick it at that point was a guard, because there's a lot of guards on the team and they go out and pick a guard. So I said, I'm out after Mason McCormick pick. But you read about the guy, and I knew who he was. I just really wanted a defensive back there, Andrew, at that point in the draft. But I mean, you can't hate the move. It's a future move, I think, for the Steelers. But this is a guy who can really provide you depth at all three interior spots right away. So it's not a bad pick. Again, we'll get to that a little bit later. But my joke was, yeah, despite the great four picks on days one and two, I'm out after you go Mason McCormick there in round four. But no, it was a great draft. I thought there weren't any like diabolical reaches, if you want to put it that way. Even in the sixth round, at that point, you're just shooting for stars anyway and hoping for the best. So by the time the first five picks came through and you get guys who potentially are either starters this year and or next year, if you include McCormick in that. You can't do much better than that if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. So what we wanted to talk about in this episode is which positions after the draft are fixed. And Andrew, I do want to put a caveat in there that we can include the free agency moves from before as well, because that is part of this offseason and obviously part of what leads you into the decisions you make in the draft. So before we get started, though, Andrew, did you have any other thoughts on the Steelers draft class as a whole before we dive into the individual positions that were selected?
Typically, I'm not always a fan of best player available, because in years past when the Steelers tried that philosophy, their best player available was definitely not my best player available. But this year, everything lined up. And the Steelers knew how to maximize value. The draft is all about maximizing value and managing risk. And the Steelers did both excellently,
yes,
especially through the first four rounds. And I don't think most of us expected the Steelers to bring in a linebacker just because of the Patrick Queen signing in free agency. But when you talk about all the injuries that the team had there last year, it doesn't hurt to have extra guys there.
Right.
And the value just presented itself. I don't know that the Steelers went in expecting to draft a linebacker, but the one with the injuries happened to fall. And you can take that risk because you already have starters in place there. If he does play, you have a really strong rotation. And if he doesn't play, it's a late third round pick that you took a swing on. He had the potential. And if he doesn't work out, you're just not killed at the position, because most of your other needs you had filled. And if you would have tried to address one of your other needs, say in the secondary, there weren't a bunch of players available that were like, well, this is great value, or as good a value as Wilson anyways.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, I don't think, let me put it this way. I think we would be remiss to not even talk about the fact that this front office actually looks at the analytics a little bit more, a lot more actually than the predecessors. I think that comes into play a lot when you're evaluating these drafts. And when you look at last year, Andrew, wasn't it just completely surprising that every single round, it felt like the player that we had talked about for weeks as, man, at this point in the draft, he would be incredible value. That was the pick they made. And it happened again this year through the first four rounds. And to me, that's like, this is a team now that's looking into more than just how we feel about a player anymore, and how his tape looked to us. Those are all important things, but you have to play to the analytics side of the table a little bit more in today's NFL. And I think they're doing it. And I think that plays a huge role in why we're sitting here after two drafts by Omar Khan saying, wow, the value was great. They took players at spots where it was exceptional value. And you couldn't say that at the end of the Colbert era for sure. And now you can. So I think that plays a big role in it. And, you know, the other person, and you ran into this guy a couple years ago at the combine and had kind of an off the record moment with him, but Andy Weidel is just an incredible piece to this puzzle. And Steelers fans, be prepared. He's not going to be around Pittsburgh much longer. Nope. This guy's going to get a job somewhere as a general manager, probably in the next hiring cycle. So enjoy it while you can. Not saying that Omar Khan and company can't keep it up after he leaves, but I think his hand in this is absolutely massive, and he needs more credit than he's been given.
I agree. And I think the one benefit of him being from Pittsburgh is that could tug at him a little bit and potentially keep him around unless there's a job he really, really likes.
Cross but fingers.
Yeah, the Steelers need to be prepared to lose him. He has done an excellent job. And I honestly think that's maybe the biggest concerning thing of all this, because as much as I have grown to trust Omar Khan, who's going to take that role? Is it going to be someone from within? Is it going to be Sheldon White? Are the Steelers going to have Merrill Hodge come in and be that guy?
Yeah.
I mean, there's some of the things that Merrill Hodge has done. I honestly, a lot of the things he said, I agree with. There's a few things I haven't, but a lot of things I do agree with. But the Steelers have got to bring in someone. I'm just curious if they're going to go from within or they're going to bring an outside guy. Cause the connection with Weidel and Khan, they complement each other so well.
Let's fire up our resumes, Andrew.
Hey, let's do it.
I mean, you know, let's fire him up and let's see what happens. You can't. I mean, what's the saying? You miss 100% of the shots you don't make. Take. Let's yeah. take some shots when Andy Weidel's out of town. Not. That's not going to happen.
We'll be the co-assistant GMs.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, there you go. All right. Hey, let's jump into. Well, before we do that, let's go ahead and take our break here at this point in the show. And when we come back, we're going to dive into which positions are fixed here on the Steelers Fix after the NFL draft. Don't go anywhere. The Steelers Fix will be right back.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We're back here on the Steelers Fix podcast. Jeremy Betts and Andrew Wilbar here talking Steelers draft, and we are going to talk about which positions we believe are fixed for the Pittsburgh Steelers after free agency and the draft are complete. Andrew, I'm going to throw it to you first here. The Steelers selected Troy Fa'utanu out of Washington, left tackle, right tackle, left guard, right guard. He can kind of play wherever you want him to. Right away, but let's talk about the let's do this. Let's bring this one and Zach Frazier together because they're the first two picks and they're both on the offensive line. And I know we had Mason McCormick later, but we'll leave him off for now. Is the Steelers offensive line for 2024 fixed after these two selections to start the draft for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I think so. I actually think so. It's going to take time for the unit to gel. And every year, Steelers fans get a little too excited when talent is brought in and they expect the results to be immediate. It's going to take a little bit of time. But Pat Meyer, I'm sorry, if this unit is not a definitive top 10 unit by the end of this season, you have no other excuses to remain with the black and gold. I'm sorry, this unit has way too much talent. You're talking about a previous second round pick in James Daniels, talking about another almost all pro in Isaac Seumalo, a second round pick in Zach Frazier, and then two first round offensive tackles. You have to put out a good unit now. Broderick Jones is in that second year. Hopefully he moves to the left side. I think that's your desire as well, Jeremy. I think that this is going to be best for the line. He's a better pass protector on the left side. as good as Jones looked last year as a run blocker, there were times when he was a little iffy in pass pro. And I think that's fixed by going back to the left side. He's more natural on the left side. Move him there. Fautanu on the right side. I talked to KT Smith in our live stream, and he kind of explained why sometimes his get off was maybe looked a little bit slow on tape because there's a lot of RPOs and, you know, just a lot of option plays in that offense. But regardless of, you know, how regardless of his get off out of his stance, that is going to be limited the impact that could make on the right side, the negative impact it could make. And he's also a really good run blocker. I honestly like him better as a run blocker for the Steelers offensive scheme than Broderick Jones. But I like Broderick Jones's athleticism slightly more as a pass protector on the left side. So it just seems to fit perfectly. I know Fautanu played primarily at left side, but his game projects just as good, if not better, to the right side as it is the left. And Broderick Jones, that's his natural position that he's used to playing. So I think by moving Jones, you solve both problems on both sides of the line. Dan Moore moves back to swing tackle, and all of a sudden, this Steelers offensive line on the ends looks really good, and Russell Wilson and Justin Fields should get good protection this year.
Yeah, I think when you combine the situation with Fautanu's flexibility at any number of positions, really, on the offensive line, it makes more sense to me that you take the guy who was scouted as a left tackle in Broderick Jones and you move him back there. And then you take the guy that you scouted as position versatile and put him on the other side. If that doesn't make sense, then I think you're doing it wrong. And that may be the one issue that I have with the Steelers is, can they identify that correctly and make the appropriate transaction to where Broderick Jones, I mean, you've got to pull Broderick Jones from the right side. I just think you have to. Dan Moore Jr., if you put Broderick Jones over on the left side and make Dan Moore Jr. the backup left tackle, you immediately upgrade that spot as from a player perspective. Fautanu going to the right side. If for some reason Fautanu went down with an injury, then I think you would move Broderick Jones back to the right, probably, if you still have Dan Moore Jr. Unless a guy like Dylan Cook, who seems to be the rage for the Steelers, can go and be your swing tackle. And then I don't see the need to keep Dan Moore Jr. at that point. You figure out a way to get some value for him potentially and move on. But I do think from a player personnel perspective, the Steelers' offensive line is fixed. You think of Fautanu, Frazier, Broderick Jones, and then the free agent additions in Seumalo and James Daniels. James Daniels hasn't been electric at right guard, but he's been perfectly fine, a perfectly suitable right guard. And if Mason McCormick comes in and is your swing guard slash backup center slash, you know, backup to the backup center, if Nate Herbig is your first guy there, I think the depth is fantastic. I think you have guys who can play a myriad of spots, so you've got some versatility. You don't have to dress as many offensive linemen. It's all about the coaching, like you said, at that point. It's all about fitting these guys in appropriately if you are Pat Meyer and the offensive coaching staff. Maybe Arthur Smith comes in and clears some of this. Well, this guy's playing out of position stuff up. I would hope so, being a former offensive line guy. That would be my one concern. But from the people they've selected to fill the holes on the roster along the offensive line, I think absolutely they have fixed the offensive line. Any other thoughts on that?
No, I think what would be interesting is if there is an injury at guard, who comes in to replace? In year one, say Mason McCormick, yeah. I think Mason McCormick has a chance to be the future starter for the Steelers guard. But if this year there's an injury, say either Seumalo or Daniels goes down, assuming Fautanu and Broderick Jones are the starters at the tackle spots, who comes in at guard? Do you move Fautanu to guard and play Dan Moore at tackle? Or you could potentially try to play Dan Moore at guard even. You could also bring in a guy like Nate Herbig, who was a solid depth piece last year. Or do you bring in Mason McCormick? The Steelers have a lot of options, which is a good thing. But who's the first guy that comes in?
Man. What I hope and what actually happens might be two different things. But what I hope is that it would be Nate Herbig or Mason McCormick coming in at guard if a guard goes down. I just don't like the idea of messing with these guys once you get them in their spot at the tackle spots. So what I hope does not happen is that James Daniels goes down, you move Fautanu into right guard, you move Broderick Jones back to the right tackle, and then you put in Dan Moore Jr. on the left side. Please don't do that, Pittsburgh. Please don't do that. That would be horrendous, I think, and a detriment to all of these guys' development, honestly, and a detriment to the continuity along your offensive front. That being said, I think the Steelers might consider that, honestly, because of the position versatility. There is something to be said for the ease that it makes. Like, if the Steelers had drafted J.C. Latham or Amarius Mims, and I know both of those guys were gone, but say they did that, then you know what position those guys are coming into play. You know, and there is some benefit to that overall. Now, are there benefits to having the versatile guy? Absolutely. And probably those benefits outweigh the cons. But in the end, knowing where a guy needs to play is helpful. And sometimes, as we've seen with tweeners before, or guys who don't necessarily have a natural position, you can lose a little bit by moving those guys around to places that aren't necessarily peak performance areas for them. So they've just got to be smart with it. The Steelers have to understand that certain guys have limitations. And I mean, Andrew, if it was your ideal starting five, would you flip-flop Seumalo and Daniels still at this point, or would you keep them where they're at?
I would still flip them.
Yeah. I would still flip them too. And we may be outliers in that regard, but I think a guy in his natural position just gives you more. And so I would love it if Broderick Jones was your left tackle, if James Daniels was your left guard, Zach Frazier was your center, Isaac Seumalo was your right guard, and then Troy Fautanu was your right tackle. That would to me be the absolute best way you can do it. If you don't want to move the two interior guys and swap them sides, I think you're still fine. But overall, the answer to the question, is this position fixed? I think we both agree, yes, it is. Let's move on, Andrew, to the third pick in the draft for the Steelers, which was Roman Wilson, wide receiver out of your favorite college team, Michigan. And does the addition of Roman Wilson coupled with Van Jefferson and Quez Watkins, is the Steelers wide receiver room fixed?
I would say no for this year. Roman Wilson is still fairly raw. He is a receiver that when I first saw the pick, I wasn't like enthused about it. But the more I thought about it and saw, okay, this wasn't the second round pick where a lot of people were projecting the Steelers to take him. This was the third round pick. And I started to warm up to it. And I'm like, okay, I actually really like this pick. And seeing Roman Wilson at Michigan, he was a guy that was very much underutilized in the offense because the Steelers were a run first team. He was kind of the 1A and 1B with Cornelius Johnson. But the Michigan never had that elite wide receiver. There was no one who ever stepped out and was just that dynamic playmaker. And when you're looking at Roman Wilson's game, you have to wonder whether that was scheme specifically, or was that because he's just never going to be an elite wide receiver? I think the answer could honestly be yes to both of them, but that doesn't preclude you from taking him in the third round. Right. I don't think Roman Wilson's ever going to be an elite number one wide receiver. Some people say, oh, maybe he's Terry McLaurin. Maybe he could be. I think I see him more as a guy that reminds me of Tyler Lockett. And if the Steelers get Tyler Lockett with the 84th pick of the draft, I think most of us would agree that's a pretty good selection. So I think Roman Wilson could be kind of a poor man's Tyler Lockett. Very similar game. He can help out as a return man as well, but I think he's someone who's going to allow the Steelers to get the Steelers flexibility on, can I say, jet sweeps? I think the Steelers are kind of scarred. Jet sweeps, using him as motion across the offense in Arthur Smith's scheme, use him as a decoy a lot in year one. And then occasionally he has the speed to burn you deep. So I think it's a solid selection for the Steelers. I still think they need to add someone. And our source inside the building has apparently been saying that expect a splash move. So I wouldn't rule out the idea of the Steelers bringing in another receiver. I would be shocked if the Steelers didn't, whether that be via trade or with Tyler Boyd. I know some people are saying Tyler Boyd, that ship has kind of sailed. and there's no chance of that happening, I still think Tyler Boyd would be the perfect fit for this room right now. A top three receivers for the Steelers, if that was Tyler Boyd, George Pickens, and Roman Wilson, I'd be okay with that. If I'm being perfectly honest, I think that's a solid group with the offensive line the Steelers have in place. But I do not think it's completely fixed. Roman Wilson, you have to temper expectations year one. It's still going to be a long learning curve for him. Still not a refined route runner. Still a lot of things he needs to learn if he wants to get to the level Deontay Johnson was, per se. There's some areas I like him better. But in the specific area of route running, Johnson still has the better hand.
If the Steelers, by the time you're listening to this, listeners, if the Steelers have made a move for, say, Cortland Sutton, does that change your perspective on this at all?
Yes. I'm not the biggest Cortland Sutton fan. Like we've talked about off air before. He would probably be my least favorite of the ones to go for just because of the injury concerns, the inconsistency, part of which can just be done due to the quarterback position. But with Russell Wilson specifically, if we never saw him and Russell go off. But if Russell felt like there was more, and he's like, if you bring in Cortland Sutton, this guy could be a difference maker in the offense. I just see him as a poor man's George Pickens in every way. He's not as fast as Pickens. He's the same bigger type that can win the contested catches, but not as high of a rate as Pickens can. I just don't think he adds anything extra to the offense like an Ayuk or a Debo or even a Tyler Lockett would and kind of be that mentor for Roman Wilson. I just don't see how he really completes the offense. Having said that, I think having another guy like a poor man's George Pickens is enough to fill the Steelers wide receiver room. So from that perspective, I would say yes, it would finish the receivers room, just not to the level I think the Steelers could. It wouldn't put it over the top, but it would complete the
room. Yeah. Okay, so I agree with your initial statement that I don't think just Roman Wilson like fixes the wide receiver room completely, but I think it is a passable room in an Arthur Smith offense.
Yes,
and I think that is a caveat that needs to be made here. Personally, I think Roman Wilson's upside is pretty high. I think he's a guy who can probably play outside the way the Steelers have used guys like Antonio Brown and Deontay Johnson in the past. In fact, I think he's got some more physicality to his nature than either one of those guys did. Now, Andrew, I'm sure you noticed this on tape too. Sometimes in an effort to get off the line of scrimmage, he was a little clunky and could trip over himself and maybe get ahead of his feet a little bit. But I think that cleaned up as the season went on. And I do think he has a nose for the big play. So I would say that his upside is actually pretty high. And I would not be surprised if in two wide receiver sets, he and George Pickens are the two guys out there in a lot of those by the time that the middle of the season rolls around and they're both playing like an outside receiver role with some flexibility to move around. The tight ends obviously play into this a lot with Pat Freiermuth and everything. But the big point I wanted to make was that I don't think there's a lot of people, a lot of fans, Andrew, that are still not happy with this wide receiver room the way it is. I think the Steelers can compete as their wide receiver room sits right now. Is it perfect? No. You probably want three guys of a Roman Wilson caliber or higher on your team. So I think you've got two of those guys right now. You probably want three in today's passing game if you're going to win a Super Bowl. But I do think that they have enough to be a contender in the AFC and in the AFC North specifically right now. So I'm going to say for 2024, it's fixed. But for beyond that, they're going to need something else if they want to even take another step. So it's kind of a yes and no for me. But I'm leaning towards 2024. They've got enough there to make it work with Roman Wilson in there. I think Van Jefferson has some flexibility to him as well as to where you can play him. And then there's no reason to fully count out Calvin Austin III as a contributor to the pass catchers at this point either. That would be premature in my opinion. What say you there?
I don't disagree with that. I wouldn't rule out Van Jefferson either. I think that one thing in this offense specifically, I think that this front office does a good job, even if I don't necessarily agree with, like, say, Courtland Sutton. Depending on if the Steelers can get him for a fifth or sixth round pick, I'm all in. I think that'd be great value. I'm just concerned that the Steelers may give up a little bit more than what I would think he'd be worth. But at the same time, it's Omar Khan, and I have no reason to doubt him at this point. One thing I do really like about their philosophy, though, in today's NFL, to be a winner, you have to be a step above. You can't just be at that acceptable rate. And for so long, when the Steelers had a need with Kevin Colbert, they would fill it good enough to get by. If everything goes right, we can have all the pieces to win. This front office is building a team in which not everything has to go right for it to work out. They're stacking depth. They're finding true playmakers at each piece. They're going one cut above. And that's what championship teams do. They go above and beyond what's just the acceptable rate. Yeah, we can fill the need with this guy who, at his best, could fill this role. Steelers aren't looking at it as, well, if this player is at his absolute best, we might have enough to actually go somewhere. No, the Steelers are giving themselves room for error. There's going to be errors that happen. Not everything goes perfectly during an NFL season. Right. And when you bring in a guy like Courtland Sutton, as opposed to, say, a Tyler Boyd. Yes, Tyler Boyd, I think, Tyler Boyd is enough, personally. I think he's enough for this offense to be able to run, especially with Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator. And if that's what the Steelers do, I will be happy about it, and I will still be excited about this offense this year. I think they have plenty of weapons. But if they go out and get a Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk, that's going to cut above. Okay, now this offense actually looks scary good. And if everything doesn't work out perfectly, maybe the Steelers don't quite meet expectations, or maybe there's an injury that takes place. Maybe Roman Wilson goes down with an injury his rookie year. Mm-hmm. The Steelers still have plenty of options. But if it was just, say Tyler Boyd, the margin for error is a lot less slim. So despite having to pay a little bit more than what I would probably want to for one of these veteran receivers, as opposed to getting Tyler Boyd maybe, $7, $8 million, which I don't think would be outrageous, I like the Steelers' philosophy of going above and beyond to make sure that they have a margin, they have room for error, because there's going to be things that come up unexpectedly, and you've got to be one cut above if you want to be able to win a championship.
And Andrew, on these lines, we actually do have some breaking news. No, it's not the breaking news you want it to be, but I think the wide receiver room is fixed now, Andrew, because the Steelers have invited Ferris State wide receiver Xavier Wade to rookie camp, and that was the final piece that they were missing. That was something I just saw on X. So the Steelers inviting another body to rookie minicamp. Xavier Wade absolutely comes in and fixes the Steelers wide receiver room. Yes,
he and Sean Stevens. Let's go.
Let's go. All right. Hey, let's move on from the wide receiver talk, and let's get to an interesting one, linebacker, because Peyton Wilson is the next pick for the Steelers. And I think that this is a linebacker core now that has a little bit of everything, Andrew, especially if Cole Holcomb can come back healthy enough to be able to play. I'll go ahead and just say it right now. I think Peyton Wilson, at least in the short term, absolutely has a chance to have fixed the Steelers linebacker room. When you pair him with Patrick Queen and Alandon Roberts and Cole Holcomb, that is a really, really solid group. I'm going to say they're fixed for 2024, but what do you think about that?
I think they're fixed as well. Yes, there's obviously the injury concern with Wilson, but the Steelers needed depth here, and they got the depth they needed. You're talking about having four guys that can legitimately play anytime you want them to. Once Cole Holcomb is healthy, you've got Holcomb. You've got Alandon Roberts, who played out of his mind toward the end of last year, played way above what he definitely defied my expectations. And you have, of course, Patrick Queen, who's going to be the guy there. So I am excited about this inside linebacker room. The Steelers needed depth here for a while. They finally addressed it, and they went to that next level. I don't know that Mark Robinson necessarily makes the team now because of this, but if he does, you're talking about even more depth. So I think the Steelers are in really good position inside linebacker, and we should be excited about this unit. I don't want to sidetrack, but I just wanted to give, since I had Xavier Wade's pro day numbers up here, I just wanted to share them real quick before we moved on. Sure. 6'5", 192, 31 and a quarter inch arms, ran a 4.55 in the 40, only 8 bench reps, but at a 707.3 cone, 4.32 short shuttle, a 38.5-inch vertical, and then a 10.4 broad jump. So not the fastest guy in the room, but he's got some jumps. So there's some explosion there. Sorry,
Dave. Yeah, some explosive. No, you're good. I like that. Some explosiveness there for him, for sure. Going back to the linebackers, though, I think you've got, like I said, you've got some guys who can do a little bit of everything. But the biggest weakness for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the linebacker room the last few years was the ability to cover in the open field. And I think with the Wilson pick in mind paired with Patrick Queen, I think that for sure is an area where they've improved tremendously this offseason. And I just want to say this, and I mention it every time we talk about linebackers, but the Steelers defense is just different when they've got two really good inside linebackers, or even just one really good inside linebacker and a complimentary piece. They might have a chance to have two really good ones now, and that could be all the difference between taking this defense from a top 10 unit to an elite top 3 or 4 unit in the league. So we'll see how it goes, but really like that. We'll skip over Mason McCormick just because we talked about the offensive line already and his role in it as a backup and potentially a guy who can push for starter snaps in year two. And that would be the upside for him. Obviously the Steelers liked his athletic profile and what he brings to the table. I wouldn't hate it if he were thrust into the lineup at some point this year. I think you've got a guy who can hold down the fort if necessary. Let's talk about the 2 6-round picks though. And we don't have to spend a lot of time on it because I think the answer for both situations will be the same. But when you look at Logan Lee coming into the defensive line and Ryan Watts coming in the defensive backfield, do you think that either of those players rounds out those groups well enough to where they are fixed for 2024?
I do not. And when you look at Ryan Watts, I think he has to move to safety to even have a chance in the NFL. And I still think the Steelers need to add another safety and corner. I really do. Deshaun Elliott is good. I don't think DeMonte KZ is definite to make the roster. I think they could cut him potentially and save a little bit of money there. I don't know that will happen, though. Can the Steelers get by with what they have at safety? 100%. But there's still some good guys on the open market. If the Steelers
want
to make
back Edmonds, bring back
I know. It's like
at this point, please.
It's so frustrating. Like, I love this front office, but I don't know what Terrell Edmonds did to them to make them just.
Yeah,
it's so aggravating. You could get them on the Chief. I can't understand that. But Justin Simmons, if you want to do a splash on the defense, he's probably somewhat affordable at this point. Even could you imagine Justin Simmons and Minka together? That would be fun. But
yeah,
there's a lot of good corners there. I think Xavien Howard would be a good signing. He can play in the zone looks. He can play inside the slot. He could play out wide. I don't want to bring back the burns from Artie third degree burns, but the Steelers got the Steelers passed on in favor of Artie Burns. The Steelers could somewhat right the ship by bringing him back now on somewhat of a cheaper deal, probably be a prove it deal, 1 or maybe 2 year deal. But I like that. I really do. I think that this makes a lot of sense for the Steelers. You go out and get a guy like that. And all of a sudden your secondary is formidable. If Corey Trice comes along, you've got a really good secondary. And I do believe that Jackson has the ability to play inside or out. That's why I'm a really big proponent of making a move like this. There's some good corners out there. I think the Steelers need to go out and get one. I was kind of surprised the Steelers didn't address it in the draft, especially with Quinion Mitchell staying on the board at 20. I'm not complaining about Faletanu, but it had to have been tempting for the Steelers to go and get Quinion Mitchell, because that would have been fun to watch with him and Porter on the outside together. But I'll just throw this out. As good as we talked about Andy Weidel, I would say that Robert Hunt's doing a good job in his new gig in Philadelphia as well. He's done a good job bringing in talent for the Eagles as well. I think it's worked out for both sides with Hunt going there and Weidel coming here. But I think the Steelers need to add another piece of corner for sure.
I agree. And then along the defensive line, Logan Lee to me has some upside because I think he can add some more weight. And I think the Steelers have a plan for him. Unlike DeMarvin Leal. I think they thought they knew what Leal was going to bring to the table, and then they got him in there and they realized he's just not a physical player. And so they tried him on the edge and that wasn't working. And that's why he sat out basically all of last year. So I think Logan Lee plays with more effort and motor than DeMarvin Leal does. And so I think that he's got a better chance of being a contributor. One move that has flown way under the radar for me on the defensive line, and I don't know if it did the same for you, but it's that the Steelers signed Braden Fehoko back to the roster for, I think, a futures contract at the end of last year. And so he's on the roster, Andrew, and this is a guy that I think we had talked about. I know for sure other people had mentioned it on the Steel Curtain Network that why he wasn't in the rotation at some point late in the year for the Steelers was almost mind-boggling because of the fact that they were bleeding running lanes at points throughout the season to teams, and it seemed like he could be a guy to come fill that. I think the Steelers' defensive line is closer to being fixed for this year than the secondary, for sure. But I do think both of them, you could really use another elite piece on the defensive line as well as a really solid couple guys to rotate inside and out in the secondary. Specifically, a guy who can be your starting nickel and then could rotate out if need be. That's why I think if Cam Sutton is a guy that the Steelers are comfortable with, whatever situation's going on there, I think he will be back on the team because I think they would view him as the nickel corner who can move outside in case of an injury. And then they would feel much more comfortable at that. But still, I think corner, you could use two more moves there at least before the season starts to try to get some players into that rotation. Beanie Bishop is a guy who's going to play into that as well, I think. So in the end, it may be closer than we think, but I would say that neither of those positions are fixed after the draft.
One thing I do want to add on the defensive line, if Andy Weidel is still here next offseason, the same transformation you've seen on the offensive line, expect that on the defensive line next year.
Yes, yes. And I would love it. Oh, man, I would love it. If the Steelers are picking at, say, 27 or something like that, and they snag a stud defensive tackle, oh, man, let's do
hear
it.
Him with Benton?
Yes.
And you may have to find an Ogunjobi replacement, too, whether that be in free agency or in the draft.
Yeah, you're going to have to double dip, triple dip there for sure. The Steelers have three offensive linemen drafted in this draft here. I wouldn't be surprised if you see maybe that number happen for the defensive line next year. All right, Andrew, that's it for us on this show, breaking down which positions are potentially fixed after the draft. I think the consensus is that the offensive line is fixed. The linebackers are fixed, but still some work to do at wide receiver and on the defensive line and in the secondary. Not that the team can't compete with what they have, but it does seem like that those would be areas if you really want to strengthen this roster and turn it into a true contender in the AFC, that those are the areas you would like to see some moves made. Anything coming up for you on the website or on the podcast side of things, Andrew?
At some point here, we're going to have the way too early mock draft, which I always enjoy doing, kind of. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
But the way too early mock will be coming out. We're going to be doing our all draft teams at some point coming out in the next couple weeks. And then also, I got confirmation from the player just a couple minutes ago. Kalon Jervin, a defensive back who got invited to the Giants and Packers minicamps, guy who I had a draftable grade on, I thought really liked his tape. He's got a lot of upside. He's going to be joining one of our shows next week, whether it be FFSN or here. So keep an eye out for that. It's going to be a really good interview. I'm excited to have him. And we're going to really enjoy talking to Kalon Jervin. He's a great guy. And I think you'll look forward to that.
Good deal. And I've got a couple things still coming up on the website. I'm going to wrap up the Fantasy Fits series. I've been taking my time a little bit more with this one to do some sleepers from the final day of the draft. And then working on an article for Stock Report as well for players and groups after the selections were made in the draft. So that's all upcoming for me on the website. I'll be a part of this podcast, obviously, moving forward. And then Andrew and I are going to do some more wrap-up shows on the FFSN NFL Draft Show. And then also the Steelers Q&A. Check that out this coming Sunday night at 8:30. It'll be live with a guest on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Wherever you'd like to tune in, you can do that, or you can catch that show on audio only after it is published. That's it for us. We'll talk to you next time here on the Steelers Fix.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.